Blog Talk Radio.
Show at Groomer Talk Radio. Today is, for the record, Sunday, January 17th, 2016. A couple announcements before we begin. We're going to have Christina Pulaski with us today. But first, for those that want to win a Metro Master Blaster Dryer, it's an HV. We have an easy, fun contest. Well, not so easy. Some of the trivia questions that are based on this are pretty tough this time around and getting tougher because we have a few brilliant people out there who are really answering some toughies well. But even just for trying, even if you have a wrong answer, you still get a ticket in the drawing. So come on by Groomer Talk message board. There'll be 50 to 75 questions before we're done. We've got quite a few there already. This is going to run through Valentine's Day of 2016, and if you don't need the dryer, you can have $200 cash instead. Also, here's some of the first word. Double K is doing the Rags to Riches contest this year. It's going to start in February. We're still setting the final dates. PetGroomer.com will again be showing the actual entries that you send in. Of course, they give away thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. It's one of the biggies. Certainly the biggie on the internet. So look for more information in February. Groomer Talk Board will, of course, keep you apprised of everything on the details as soon as we get them. But it is a go. And, in fact, today's guest, Christina, looks like she'll be a judge again, as she did last year. And we're going to follow the format similar to last year, where judges will pick the top 10, but you, the groomers, are going to choose the winners. That seemed to please everybody last year. It was a great year, so let's do it again. Now, moving on, we have Christina Pulaski with us today. She's the National Training Manager of Oster Professional Products. If you call in, you will just hit 1 on your keypad, and that will raise your hand. That means it gives me a notice that you have a question for Christina. So anytime during the show, if you're using the telephone number, hit 1 on the keypad. That'll send me a notice, and we'll get to you as we go along. I've had quite a few questions that have been emailed in for Christina, so it looks like to be a busy hour with her today. Now, for those of you that don't know Christina, I could tell you, with the amount of honors that this groomer has gotten, I could take up most of that hour, but I'm going to give you just some of the things that she has accomplished. She's a multiple best all-around groomer and best groomed dog and show winner. She was the world poodle groomer in 1993 and 1995. She was international groomer of the year in 1994. She's won multiple Cardinal Crystal Achievement Awards, groomer of the year 1993, Congeniality 1994, judge of the year 96, 99, 2000, 2001, 2003, 2006. Nominated for many of these same awards in 2004, 5, and 6. She was the won the Eagle Award from Grooming Board Magazine in 94. Voted Groomer of the Year by New England Pet Grooming Professionals 2001. Member of USA Groom Team in 93, 94, 95. Oster International Invitational Tournament of Champions 1995. And Awards of Merit at Westminster. And that's not everything, but I think we'll stop there. And I'm going to bring Christina on line with us. I believe this is her line. Christina, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys today?
Oh, we're always busy here. The internet keeps you busy, and let me tell you, it's never a dull moment. I even tell people Christmas Day and whatever, we're busy.
Yep, you can lose yourself in it.
Yes, yes. Well, we try to keep the information. You know, it's been great that the internet for, look, even you being able to get out information to everybody the way that you do. Just think back 15, 20 plus years ago when it was just really hard to get out all this information.
It's a great way to share for sure.
It is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, since you've been on the show, what's been happening with you? You were on with us a couple times last year. What's been happening with you since?
Well, I'm just trying to keep up. You know, we do a lot of different trade shows and things like that. And, you know, Oster has been really busy, you know, working on some new products and things like that. So that keeps me busy because I, you know, I test a lot of that stuff before it ever gets out on the market. So, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, I had mentioned some stuff earlier when we did some emailing back and forth. You know, we've got some new cordless products that maybe we'll talk about in a little bit. Pretty excited.
Right.
But other than that, I still groom 3 days a week on top of everything else. So I'm still
Ironically, that was one of the questions that was emailed to me is, how do you do it? How do you keep a business going and be an Oster representative?
Sometimes I wonder. I don't have a lot of personal time. You know, I'm a pretty busy person. And I, you know, I don't take really any time off for myself as a rule. But it's not really ever been an issue because I love what I do. You know, I love grooming the dogs. In fact, you know, those 3 days at the shop can be hectic, but at the same time, it's you're finished. You know, you do your 6, 8, 10 dogs in that day, and when you leave, you're done. With the Oster job, you know, you're always thinking, you know, there's always something to be done, an article or, you know, reviewing products or, you know, what have you. So you're never finished. So it's nice to feel that sense of accomplishment at the very end of each of those days, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure. Okay, Lana, I want to mention Lana from Montana. That was her question. So, Lana, there's your answer. Okay. We were talking, and you mentioned when you were out in the field in the past week or so that you found that very few groomers clean and oil their blades properly. What would you like to tell us more about that and what you recommend?
Yeah, I'm always surprised. Depending on the region and things, sometimes I'll get a little fluctuation in the answers, but as a rule, you know, the company's always asking questions and listening to the groomers. And I had the privilege of sitting in on a focus group this week, and it was a group of 20 different groomers. And they all had a little bit different idea of cleaning, but most of the processes that they used really weren't as effective as they could be to extend the life of their products and, you know, to disinfect between each dog. And I thought, gosh, that would be a great topic to cover on the radio show because it's not as complicated as a lot of the folks think. I groom every day. I totally get it. I don't want to put a lot of grease and oil and things like that on my blades and then have a spot, you know, on the dog that I just bathed, you know, spent an hour bathing and drying and then, you know, put a big grease spot on it. So, you know, I totally understand the concerns of that. But at the same time, you know, cleaning the blades regularly and oiling them really does let them run cooler, which does extend the life of that blade itself as well as, you know, lessens the wear on the blade because of that oil. But you know, what you want to do too is also disinfect in between each dog, because, you know, the animals, of course, carry a lot of different bacteria on their skin, sometimes fungus and yeast and things like that. And you don't really want to share that, of course, between each and every dog. So I heard a lot of concern from the groomers that some of the different products might actually lessen the life of the blade and things like that. But in general, if you use just, for instance, a disinfectant spray, Barberside, or I like to use the Oster disinfectant, and I will, between every single dog, I will spray the disinfectant. And then all I use is like maybe two or three drops of oil on that top rail where the blade and, you know, the cutter blade and the comb blade meet. And you just put a couple drops and let it run. And then I take that blade off and set it aside. And that way it's ready for the next dog. And I don't have to think about it. It's disinfected, it's oiled, and it's ready to go. Because most of those disinfecting products need to sit for approximately 10 minutes to get the full effect. So that's why I like to do it before I take the blade off the clipper. That way I know it's had time to sit, and then I reach for that blade again, and I'm confident that I'm good to go. Now, you know, what a lot of us think of cleaning is the actual, like, blade washes and things like that. And I agree, those do leave your blades really, really greasy. And, you know, if you hit the dog with that, you're going to leave a big spot on them. So that product I tend to leave for a weekly cleaning. Or if I have a dog that I really question the condition of its skin, you know, more than I would like an average groom, I'll run a blade through the blade wash and then set it aside, and I don't touch it for a couple of days. You know, I spray it with the disinfectant and I oil it as well. But that, and then even then, when I go at the dogs with that freshly blade washed blade, I usually start on the tummy just in case. So I don't know if that's helpful. I hope it is, but I'll tell you, they will notice a big difference if they give it a try. You know, just simply spray the disinfectant, a couple drops, and you're on the, you know, you're on back onto the dog. It's not, it takes seconds.
Great. I know my father especially, he loved taking care of his equipment and blades between every groom. He was an excellent groomer, and that was one of his things that the other groomers we would hire, I would hear him a lot of time reminding them, you know,
mm-hmm.
you didn't clean that blade between the last groom or whatever, you know, and to keep that watchful eye out on them. And
yeah, it's a really good habit, you know, but you have to form that habit. If you're not used to doing it, it does take a little thought. But, you know, your dad probably benefited from all of that care. I mean, his equipment probably lasted more than the average.
Sure. Yep. And he'd love to take them apart and do a thorough cleaning occasionally. That was pretty good. But, you know, we can go home now. We're close. Nope, I got to have this ready for the next day. He liked to come into freshly prepared, everything cleaned and sterilized for the next day. So good habit.
Sounds like a smart guy. Smart guy.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the new lithium battery-operated clippers?
Well, we have a new clipper that just came out in September, and I've been testing it for a while now and have just, you know, totally fallen in love with it. We had a product called the Volt that's been out for a few years now, and I really like that clipper. I have nothing negative to say about it. I wish that it had run maybe just a little bit faster, but I appreciated the benefits of a, you know, slower running blade, you know, because then the blades don't get really hot. But sometimes it just wasn't enough to get through some of those really heavy coats. And the reason it can run slower and still be very powerful is it's a torquey clipper. It's gear driven. So it never really bogs down, but without that little extra speed sometimes on those, you know, the standard poodle coats that you could bounce a comb off of, you know, you would sometimes see a little bit of tracking, where the new 3000i at 3000 strokes per minute, it's like 600 strokes per minute faster with that same gear drive. It's just so easy to work with. And because I do a lot of those really heavy coated breeds, I find that it's just, it gives me a nice smooth finish without tons of blade heat. And I end up using the thing all day long. You know, I hardly ever pick up my corded clippers anymore. And it's just that freedom. what can you say? And I know now that the competition has come out with one. It's a little bit heavier than the two that we have. But what's great are these clippers, all of them take your regular A5 style blades. So you never have to like worry about what length you left it on. Whatever blade you want to put on it, it's going to be accurate, you know, just like your corded clippers. And I think that's where a lot of the groomers, when I speak with them, they're so used to that lithium or that cordless power being related to a trimmer or like a 5-in-1 blade type. People will call them clippers. I always call them trimmers because, you know, yes, you can groom an entire dog with them, but they're really not meant to do that. These guys are true heavy-duty regular clippers, but with lithium battery, so you don't have to deal with that that memory anymore. And you're not going to hurt them if you use them for 10 minutes and put them back on the charging stand. Use them for half hour, put them back on the charging stand. It's not going to affect the life of that battery. I still have my very first unit that's like 6 years old. Now the battery is on its way out finally. But, you know, it's just amazing. And granted, I'm sure that's not average. I understand the average life of those batteries are, you know, around 2 years old. But you think about it, if you're grooming 5-6 days a week and, you know, one of those batteries lasts that long, that's awesome.
Yeah, that isn't bad at all.
No, I love being cordless.
Are there new names of new models coming out with new names by
Well,
Oster?
We have the Pro 3000i.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it's very sleek looking. It's black and it's got like a blue button, but it's very, very nice. It actually came out in Europe first, so they had that one before we did, which is not typical. And I think the Andis has a Pulse ZS. I forget. I didn't write it down.
But they're
awesome.
So about 2 years is a good deal. I want to make a couple. Notes
yeah,
here.
They've really held up. You know, the levers hold up really well. I mean, I can go. You know, they always recommend like 6 months to change them, but honestly, I've went, you know, a year or more without even noticing a performance change in the clipper that I've had to change the lever. Now, granted, I do a lot of heavy coats, but they're all clean, you know. And again, you know, taking care of those blades and keeping them oiled, you're going to wear on that lever a whole lot less. So I'm sure I get a nice long life out of my levers because of that.
Sure. Okay. So what do you, for some people who maybe still haven't used a lot of the lithium batteries yet, how do you know that battery sort of wearing out? Does it just not hold a charge very long, or does it give you some other hints?
Well, like during regular daily use, it'll run right up till the second it's dead. You know, it just runs and then whoop, it's done. It doesn't like lose power, you know, gradually lose power. But over time, what you'll notice is, you're right, it just doesn't quite hold the charge. Like the one that's over 6 years old now, I'm probably getting about 45 minutes or less out of that full charge, where at the beginning, I ran that bugger for well over 2 hours on a full charge. And that's constant use. You know, you think about your usage pattern on a clipper, and most people, with few exceptions as far as like really bad conditioned dogs, you're not going to be using that clipper an entire hour nonstop. You know, you might, or you're not making any money anyhow. You know, you want to, you run it to do your feet, say a poodle, you do maybe, I don't know, a couple minutes a foot, face, tail, you're 15 minutes there, and then probably another 15, 20 minutes to get that body down. And then, you know, you put it away. So in reality, you'll probably never notice that full 2 hour run unless you're being very deliberate, because, you know, you're over an hour and you're losing money running a clipper nonstop.
All right. So I, you know, we get a lot of beginners here because I get a lot of those questions fielded to me.
Mm-hmm.
They would, if they were going to get some Oster set up, I'm a new groomer, what would be your recommendations of what are the minimum two or three clipper trimmers that they should start with?
Well, for cost-wise, you know, because usually when you're young and new, you're always kind of on a budget, and we have a wonderful bunch of clippers that are very stylish, that are very ergonomic, have a great feel to them, and, you know, of course, they perform very well, and that's the new A6 line of clippers. I find that a lot of the, if they're women, they tend to go towards what we have, the A6 Slim. So they're a very ergonomic, very slim, and they have a nice weight to them, a nice balance, and they're very colorful. But besides that, they work really well, and their price generally right around $149, depending on, you know, which distributor you go through. And then a lot of the guys, and some of the girls too, like the A6, we call them the A6 Comfort Grip. And they have kind of like a foamy overmold. And they come in more masculine colors, but they're super comfortable. And, you know, they don't slip out of your hands and things like that. And again, they're in that lower price range, but they have, you know, great level of performance. And they take all your A5 blades. So you don't have to worry about, you know, buying any additional blades or in things like that. Now, as far as, you know, if you had a bigger budget, you know, I love being cordless, you know, I as I mentioned. So, and then, of course, it's always nice to have a smaller 5-in-1 trimmer, you know, like the Juice or some of the other adjustable blade cordless clippers out there. The only issue with them sometimes is, you know, especially when you're new, you don't have a lot of money to be replacing blades. Sometimes the blades don't last as long as we would like them to. So if you start with your corded clipper, your A6 of some sort, and your blades, you're always good to go, if that makes any sense. You can do full body grooming, face, feet, and tail, what have you. You're not really limited, as well as, you know, using the guide combs. So
there's roughly two, you're saying?
There's two styles, yeah. And there's a variety of colors. Like the A6 Slim comes in some cool colors. They've got the Muddy Girl, which is kind of that pink camo look. And they've got, now it just came out, the new Paw Prints. So it's kind of white with trim. And then it's got all these pastel color prints. And then the regular line, you have pink, purple, and like they call it an ocean breeze. It's a teal color, but then the Comfort has three colors as well, where you can get it's like an electric blue color, and then they have the black with the blue trim, and then they have the Red Rocket, which is a gray and with red trim. So there's a lot. I mean, there's a color to suit just about everybody.
Cool. All right. Now, what are you planning for 2016? I mean, are you going to be doing the show circuit again this year?
Oh, yeah. I just was actually today getting some of my materials together for Groom West, which is coming up a Barkley show. And then, of course, I was also working on some of the things for Atlanta Pet Fair. I got a lot of my travel plans all set up for that. And, you know, and then you just fall right into, you know, we get a little reprieve. There's the Northwest show in April and Intergroom. And then Australia. I'm very fortunate to have been invited to go to Australia in June. So I'm looking forward to going down under.
Have you ever done that show before in Australia?
I've been there a few different times over the years. It's probably been a good 5 years since I've been down. But I just, the Australian groomers are all so sweet. It's just always such a pleasure to be there. I love going. The flight's not always so fun, but I love being there.
That's a very long
and then back
flight.
To Ohio after that. I think I get a breather to judge the Rags to Riches contest, and then I head down to the show in Ohio. So
right.
I'm going to be pretty busy, and that's not even, you know, that's not even Super
not
Zoo and Hershey
season.
And all that.
All right. So but as those people who haven't been to any of the shows, you know, I know you're often there, and you're there to show them the clippers and do demonstrations and answer questions live there, which is great.
Yeah, we have something we're doing. We did a little at the end of the year, but this year we're going to do something fun. Some of our marketing folks created this really awesome, they call it a test drive station. And we have all the clippers lined up, and we get a dog on the table, and we actually do some hands-on work and let you come up and try the clippers. And if you have any questions about a particular style or whatever, you know, it's just think of it as free hands-on education. It's a lot of fun. Love doing it.
Yeah, that's great because, you know, we can say things are ergonomic and whatever, but everyone's hands and field is different. That's one of the best things about going to a show is being able to touch all these things and to know what works best for you just because it feels right.
I agree. It's like trying on shoes, you know. I would never want to order shoes online.
Exactly. You're pretty much guaranteed you're probably going to return, you know, and do some sort of exchange. That's so true.
Yep.
Almost any clothing, actually, even that way. So, groomers, I always trying to get more and more to realize to support our shows and to get out there because there are still thousands of groomers that don't make it to the shows, and there are really some great benefits.
Yeah, and that was the other thing that I noticed in the focus group. There's a few folks that have been to a show, but they don't go regularly, and there's always so much to take in and yeah, and it just feels good sometimes, even if you just pull one thing from that show, something that's going to make your life a little bit easier, you know, a light bulb moment. It's worth it. It's worth it. And it almost rejuvenates you. You know, it's just that motivation. It's like, yeah, I want to go home and go to work. I love it, you know. So.
That's right. Because some groomers talk about groomer burnout, and it's sometimes keep learning something new can help avoid some of that burnout kind of.
Absolutely. I really think. Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go over some of the questions that I have here.
Uh-oh.
As well. That is,
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, let me start. I mentioned their name and also they know it's their question. They emailed me. They can listen to this recording and pick up their answers. So I've got Francine in California, who has been grooming for 5 years, but she's really starting to think seriously about being a competing. What do you suggest? Where do they begin? What do you suggest for someone?
Well, the first thing you have to do is, of course, start looking for dogs that you can travel with that have good coats and have above average breed standards, you know, or structure. They don't have to be perfect because a lot of times if you make corrections to those faults, you know, the judges will actually give you a little extra credit for that. But you want to get something that you can bathe and care for their coats more often than your regular every 6 week clients. I recommend actually having the client sign a contract stating that, you know, hey, I get to borrow your dog when I need to. And, you know, you, of course, pay for all those travel expenses, but you want to line up your dogs. You want to go to the show sites and make sure that you read your rules of each of the shows and decide way ahead of time what shows you would like to try. And I would start at the lower level and just get your feet wet. You know, just get your feet wet. I don't know that I would do every class the first time. Maybe do one class one day, one class the next day, just so it's not overwhelming and that you can put your best foot forward each of those days. The great thing about it is that you can also get critiques from your judges where they'll spend a couple minutes and, you know, help you for your next, you know, your next experience. But, you know, that's pretty much just kind of jump in like that with both feet. If you have someone locally that has competed or would be willing to mentor you, that's also a nice little helpful hint. You know, there are a lot of great groomers that are competing at the top level that could use an assistant. You know, and they're not competing in every class, so you might be able to coordinate and travel with someone with more experience and at least, you know, get, like I said, one or two classes under your belt as well as assisting them. And that's a wonderful way to experience the whole competition environment.
What is it that inspired you to become, to go into competing, Christina?
Well, you know, I got kind of pushed into it. I was very young. I was like 19, and I met a lady who has just since passed. Her name was Gail Redowitz, and she was my certifier. I got certified just in poodles, and she was there, and she said, oh my gosh, where'd you come from? You know, she was friends of one of my friends, and she's like, you need to get out there and do this competition thing. And I'm like, what? You know, I've never even heard of it. And so I went to my first competition, and I didn't know any better. I didn't do anything right. I just jumped right into A division.
Wow.
And I was very fortunate, though. I did really well. My first time out, even with like Liz Paul and some very famous groomers there. And I think I ended up with best all around groomer. And I was very, very fortunate. And of course, once you get the bug, that's it, you're done. You know, but I also showed dogs a lot back then too. So
has it become more difficult to come out so strong, do you think, today? Is there more to it, more to the judging,
yeah,
more complex?
Yeah, you know what, I do think that, yes, I do. I think that I was very fortunate to be surrounded with people that had the like, detail. Like, I was very fortunate dog show-wise. I hung out with some very famous people, like Mark Shanoff, John Thompson, Bill Cunningham, and folks like that. And, you know, of course, Gail was there. And it was, I was really lucky to, because when you are around that kind of grooming, you tend to emulate that. So I was super fortunate. I didn't even know how good I had it until after, you know, I didn't realize how fortunate I was. But if you can get those kind of experiences as a young person, there are still people that walk in. And Greta Darwinkle, she came out and ended up, you know, cleaning house, her first thing on Springer Spaniel, you know. And she was a breed person. You know, she knew that breed in and out, and she was able to groom them to that level of detail. And you know, just because you're a dog show person doesn't necessarily make you a great groomer, but I was a pet groomer first, and then I learned so much about the ins and outs of the, you know, the dog structure and breed standards that I think that's why I was able to elevate myself so quickly. So it's definitely not impossible. I just don't know how many have that dual focus.
Sure.
So.
Well, Kelly from Indiana, she wants to know if you could share some of your experiences. What is it like to be on Groom Team USA?
Oh, it's an honor. It's very humbling. I've growing up was involved in a lot of different team sports, and you know that whole team, just being passionate about your teammates and the effort that we all put into it, as well as the country kind of all the groomers throughout the country, are behind you, and it's a wonderful feeling. You know, it's a lot of work to get there, of course. So, for all of those folks that work towards it, don't give up, because that, actually achieving that goal, is like one of those milestones. I joke all the time about I could write a book. Just my experiences of traveling either to dog shows or to, grooming competitions, that would probably be more funny than serious, just all the fun stuff, the after competition parties with, all the different groomers, and, just some of the silly travel stories. And, I'll give you an example. We went to a show in New Orleans, and it was my husband and my assistant from the dog shows. We drove down together. We drove straight through 18 hours, and it was a great show. I got a number of points to help towards the groom team, and then all the way home, we stopped at every rest area and picked up those giant pine cones. to decorate for Christmas ornaments to give all my customers, just silly
right.
things like that. And I still have them on my tree, So, I don't know.
Okay. Kelly, there's your answer. And we're going to move on to Nigel from Kentucky. And he wants to know, how do you decide which association to go through to get your certification?
Well, I'm going to start by saying you don't have to decide. There are a lot of people that have all three certifications. I started early, a long time ago, when IPG and I think was first, and National, they were kind of together, and then they separated, I believe is how it went, and then I went with National Dog Groomers. Because they are the oldest, and the groups, I thought they did a nice job with the groups, way back when. Now, of course, it's way more advanced as far as the information that they share with you, and the pictures and the diagrams are so helpful. But I don't know that you have to choose. I think it's great to put yourself out there and to earn, the certification. I think it means a lot to a lot of your customers. A lot of them may not have a clue, but it definitely means something. And I've also went and got certification from the different cat groups as well. So, but you don't have to pick. How do you pick? You do your own research and decide. And also, too, location is important. Now it's great. Before you couldn't do this, but now you can actually go to a show, compete, and they will critique the dogs and judge your dogs, grade your dogs there at the trade show. So it makes it really convenient. A lot more locations to get to, too.
Yeah, that's a great improvement on that task, yeah. That's great. He wants to also know, do you suggest someone with certification to promote it in their business advertising?
Oh, absolutely. I have the little National Dog Groomer symbol on my phone book ad. And I hang my certificates in the shop, all of them, for the for my customers to see. So,
do they ever ask you about it or whatever, your customers?
Yeah, I do. I get calls, and then a lot of your certifying groups also have a find a groomer section on their web pages. So to, you know, certified master groomer, you know, people look, try and look you up, especially people moving, that move around a lot. You know, they'll seek you out because of that website. You know, they want to go to someone that's certified. So very helpful.
Okay. All right, Nigel, there's your answer. And I'm going to move on to Lori in Michigan. And we often have this topic come up on our boards that you can get. How much dematting do you do before the bath, after the bath, today? What is your thoughts on that? Some people, you know, there's those groomers that say, I don't do any dematting before and all. What do you suggest?
Well, I wish I had a one-size-fits-all answer. I don't. Generally, most of my clients that come in every 6 weeks, I don't really do any pre-brushing other than I pluck the hair from their ears, trim their nails, do their pads, you know, clean them up that way. And I always brush out beards. You know, that's, I always brush beards out before the bath just to loosen up the debris and things so I get those faces nice and clean. Now, once you hit the non-regular customers, then it's kind of a free-for-all. And it really depends a lot on the dog, too. You know, some dogs do not tolerate any dematting. They have the littlest pin snarl, and they have a heart attack. So I'm very honest with the customers, you know, when they're not regular, and they come in and, you know, say, we had a little guy, his name's Brutus, and he didn't even like the clippers, you know. So if he had the smallest snarls, I'm sorry, he was getting cut short. So they either became a regular customer or he got short. So they ended up being pretty regular after, you know, so many months. But you have to think of the animal if they can tolerate being dematted at all. And if they can't, you got to be upfront with the owner. You know, Fifi's a baby. She cannot handle this tangling. And I'll do the comb test with the owner in front of me, you know, in front of me. And I let them kind of tug on it, you know, and they're like, oh, wow. And those dogs will get cut down before the bath. If I know the dog can tolerate, I'm still not going to torture them. And if I can say split mat from the skin out, what I'll a lot of times do is take the length off, where I'll scissor. I have an old, you know, pair of beveled edge shears that I just cut length off. And then that way I can take that undercoat that's webbed up and work it out to the end of the hair with very little work on my part and very little stress on the dog's part. And then, of course, remove, you know, the really bad mats like armpits and things like that that aren't visual. You know, I don't do 10 blades, but I just, whatever I need to do to get those mats loosened so I can brush them out. And then the double coated breeds in the tub, you know, I'll maybe hit them with the rake a little bit to loosen stuff up, but just for a second. But anything with double coats, like Samoyed, Shepherds, Collies, things like that, a lot of that dematting I do right in the bathtub and with the force dryer, where, you know, I get that coat really, really clean, and then I slick it up with some HydroSurge Milk Bath conditioner. Sometimes I'll apply a little bit straight to the heavy matted kind of undercoat areas, and then if you put that force dryer right up against the skin, it'll push that, it'll like slide those mats to the end, and then you can brush them out during the drying process. So long-coated breeds, I do a little bit more pre-dematting. Double-coated breeds, I try to do as much as I can after they're clean. Is that helpful, I hope?
Yep, I think you covered it. That's great. All right. Ella in Pennsylvania wanted to know how you feel about vocational licensing.
vocational licensing. How I feel about it or how I go about it?
She's just talking about what are you, you know, overall, do you favor the professional licensing of groomers by states or what?
Well, you know, I don't, it's a tough subject because I, you know, I know that it's helped elevate, you know, for instance, the hair, the beauty side of the business. I know that it was meant to keep those people safe. You know, the reason that a lot of that went into play is, you know, people were using products and, you know, hair was falling out and people were being injured and things like that. And most of it because of lack of education. And the licensing is going to force us to be better educated. I don't, you know, but there's still room for error. And I like what has happened, you know, with the industry, you know, where, you know, we've got the actual, you know, guidelines that have come out, and that's going to help make things easier, you know, where, and they're very basic. I mean, I already have policies and procedures at my shop that, honestly, they're almost identical. I mean, I'm going to go in and make tweaks to my policies to match with the Alliance, you know, the Professional Pet Groomers and Stylists Alliance standards of care and safety and sanitation, because it's common sense, if that makes any sense. So I hate that the government gets to dictate to us if that ever comes to be, but I know the driving force is, you know, the care and concern for the pets. So you know, I want to stay proactive so that we, the groomers and the professionals in our industry, to be the ones that dictate those choices, so that we don't get folks in there that have had an injured dog or what have you, making rules that would make our jobs very difficult. I actually just wrote a little article in Groomer Business for the end of the year, and I mentioned some of my thoughts in there as well. And I know that they have had a nice article from Mike Bobber as well, if they wanted to read into that.
Okay. That was Grooming Business Magazine? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
All right, Ella, there's your answer. Tina from Alabama, just she says, I love my Oster A6 Slims, and
yay.
She just was wondering what your favorite Oster clipper is.
Well, I do love those A6s, but I have gotten so spoiled being cordless that I am migrated to the 3000i, the Pro 3000i. But you know, the A6 is slimmer and it is more ergonomic than the 3000i. So I do have one at my station, and I have the new little paw print one, very cute. But you know, when I need to get stuff done, you know, they're very dependable. So that's cool. Tell her thank you.
Okay, great. But she also wanted to know, after you've done all this with your career and what you're doing, what do you have future goals?
You know, I have two little boys right now, and they're not so little anymore. One's 13 and one's 11. I'd like to, you know, I focus a lot on them as well as, you know, sharing my knowledge. But there's a small part of me, I've always wanted to have an upscale boarding kennel. Just something small, and you know, so that's not totally left the back of my mind. That's always been a dream. You know, I've always loved working and conditioning dogs. You know, when I was a professional handler, the animals would live with me, and I loved going out to the park with them and riding the bike and, you know, road working and you know, just training. I love training, and I've not got to do a lot of that because I'm so busy with everything else. You know, I've title dogs in obedience, but I would love to maybe take it to another level.
That sounds fun. I'm actually working with a groomer that wants to is having me work with her business plan. I do business plans five days a week here. We're helping groomers get them done, and that's the goals are very similar there. I have five of them in the last 6 months, which have been all about having a couple acres of land and having a small. They don't want a large boarding kennel, but they want space that, like you're saying, that they could have open green area, but they could board a few dogs in pet suites and have a small grooming studio and just stay in their property and run their business. It must be a even a more growing trend because I've had like five of them in 6 months.
Well, it's nice, you know, when you love what you do and to just have that, you know, you don't have to leave or, you know, you can be on your property. It's really, I don't know, it's refreshing.
Yeah. I can see the appeal. So why don't you go ahead and give contact information. If someone, I think the Oster Pro website, where they...
Well, and you know what my new fun thing is, and I'm trying to learn. I love Facebook. I'm getting very attached to Facebook. The ambassadors, the Oster ambassadors have set up Facebook pages. So like Judy Hudson, Oster Ambassador, Chris Pulaski, Oster Ambassador, Pina also has the Oster Girl. And Connie Runyon also has an Oster Ambassador site. So we all are on Facebook, and I have a personal Facebook page as well, but I would love for folks to come to either the Oster Professional Products Facebook page, because I check it. I even have an alarm set on my phone at noon. Check your Facebook page.
Okay.
And so,
right.
So I would love for folks to reach out to me there on Facebook, and I share like where I'm going to be, what I'm up to. We even posted that I was going to be on your show today. So.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I encourage everyone out there, try to get to a show in 2016. You're more than likely going to see Christina at one of those shows. Check out all the Oster products. Yeah, try out the products online. You know, it's like a custom fit to your hands, your grooming style. So that's great. Be sure to come up and say hi to Christina. She'll answer any questions that you may have. And we look forward to you being in the Rags to Riches contest pretty soon. I think it's only 3 or 4 weeks. I don't have the exact date, but we'll be opening it up to entries.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So thank you for being on the show with us, Christina. Keep in contact, anything, and we'll get the word out for you.
All right, great.
Rest of the folks out there, next week we're going to have with us I believe there's two. We're doing a Saturday and a Sunday show next week. So Jeff Andrews of Northern Tail Sharpening will be answering any and all your clipper maintenance and shear maintenance and repair questions that you have. Everyone loves to usually ask him a zillion questions. And Mitzi Hicks will be here with Golden Paws, and she'll be answering any questions for those groomers that would like to perhaps move their careers up to a notch and have a school. So that should be interesting.
Nice.
As always. And thank you again, Christina.
Thank you so much. You have a great rest of your Sunday.
Okay, thank you. You too. We'll have you on again later in the year.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care, everybody.
Bye.